At this time, we will open the Word of God. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's give heed to this, which is the Word of God. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And may God bless to us his word as we've heard it read and as we hear it preached. We're looking particularly at some things suggested in verse 20. Let me read that to you again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Embassies of the United States have been in the news of late, haven't they? We've just seen, and I will forbear editorial comment because that's not really my place right now. We have seen the departure of people from the Yemeni American embassy. We have seen, and it's in the political controversies of the day, the attacking and horrible death of the ambassador and some of his staff in Libya at a consulate there in Benghazi. Some of us are old enough to remember when the American embassy in Iran was attacked and violated. Being an ambassador is often thought of as a political plum. It is a reward for those who are friends of the party in power. And they get to go to these places which are glamorous or wonderful or something of the sort. Or it may be that ambassadors come from very senior State Department officials who finally have risen to the top within the State Department. And they no longer are going to be lowly officials, maybe something like a legate for agricultural affairs or something of the sort. They get to be the ambassador. Usually, it's a pleasant time. Usually, it's a time when a person is honored because they represent the United States. Sometimes, however, it can be difficult and it can be dangerous. What is an ambassador? What is an embassy? Well, an embassy, and children, I'm going to define some terms here for you. An embassy is kind of a mission from one country to another, and it's headed up by a person called an ambassador. And the two words sound kind of similar because they are related. And what is the ambassador? Well, he is specially set apart by his own country to be the official representative of that country to another country. So, for example, someone might be made from here in the United States an ambassador to, let's just pick a country at random, Russia. And there it is that they are the official representative of the government of the United States and the people of the United States. The building where his office is and the entire complex of buildings around it is called a compound, and it's considered by international law to be the property of its own country. So right there in Moscow at the U.S. Embassy is a little portion of the United States. And children, you might find this interesting. If you were to visit in the Washington, D.C. area, you would find a little portion of real estate there, a little portion of land with some buildings on it that is actually part of Russia. And there are all kinds of other countries that have their embassies there. The ambassador is someone who is an official messenger of the country that has sent him. He is specially set apart as a special representative of his home government. And because he is set apart as this official representative, he has authority. Authority. Do you children know the difference between authority and power, by the way? I don't know if you've ever seen a traffic light not working. And there's a policeman out in the middle of the intersection directing traffic. And when he does like this, the cars move. When he does like that, they stop. Is it because he's so powerful he can make a car charging go and stop? No. The car is far more powerful than he. Why does it stop? Why does the car stop? Because the driver recognizes that the policeman has authority. He is representing, well, the law of Ohio. And the driver will be in trouble with Ohio if somehow he doesn't stop. The policeman doesn't have the power to stop a car. He doesn't have the power to push it along at 35 miles an hour or even faster out here on Western Rail Road. But he has the authority, and people stop because of that. The ambassador has full authority in his specific place of the one who has sent him. And there's one last thing I want to point out about an ambassador. The ambassador is treated by his hosts in the same way that the hosts esteem the country he represents. in normal circumstances, the harming of an ambassador, the invasion of an embassy is absolutely the beginning of war. Because you are saying, by your action, if you attack an ambassador or an embassy, you're attacking the one who sent him. You folks, the Southwest Ohio RP Mission Church, are in a front line embassy. And the head ambassador is about to be your new pastor. This is the most important embassy of all. Now, in the State Department of our country, it's much more prestigious to be an ambassador in an important post like, say, Russia or China or the United Kingdom. It is much, much more prestigious, shall I say, to be an ambassador to one of those countries than, say, to Liechtenstein, if you even know where that is. But the embassy you have is far more important than the embassy to Liechtenstein. And it is much more important than the one to the United Kingdom. Much more important than to China. Much more important than to Russia. Your embassy is not from the State Department of the United States of America. Your embassy is not from the President of the United States. Your embassy is from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Prince Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to all of mankind. Your job is to represent him where you're sent. What are you to do? Well, you are sent as a herald, an official messenger, all of you in the embassy staff. You are to herald, you are to proclaim a wide, a free, a gracious, complete, and everlasting reconciliation. That is, children, bringing warring ones together. Holy God, sinful men. You have full authority to summon men and nations, sinners and societies, to come to God in Christ. And, if there be need, to call down God's wrath on impenitent sinners and societies. Thankfully, that is not your main work. No, rather, it is more what we find in the two verses immediately beforehand, in verses 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of, not condemnation, but reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It can be dangerous at times. Think of brothers and sisters throughout all time who have been condemned because they held to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were warned that this could happen. Our Lord Jesus cautioned his disciples, the men who would later become the apostles, that as they have hated me, so shall they hate you. It can be dangerous to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to be part of the embassy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the late ambassadors, the preachers, the teaching elders of the Church of Jesus Christ are, of course, in the most dangerous possible place of all within this sort of work. And it can be hard because the ambassador is hated for representing Christ. But usually, the job, the calling is joyful. Because a time is coming when before the white throne of God, there shall be a multitude that cannot be numbered. Who were sinners? Who were, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, dead in their trespasses and sins, and who have been brought into fellowship with God through Christ? They are no longer filthy. They're no longer in the blood of death of their sin. They're clothed in white linen. And that multitude is composed of people who were told of the good news that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again for sinners. God used that message, put it in their hearts by the power of His Spirit, and saved them. Saved them. And they're out there. They're out there. They're here in Mason and the surrounding townships here in Warren County. Go a little west of here, across the county line road. They're over there in Westchester and in Butler County and the surrounding townships. And I can't remember what the townships are anymore. I barely know Hamilton County townships anymore. But I grew up just south of here. But they're around. They're around. They may be people who claim a nominal sort of Christianity, but have never known the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be those who hold to another religion altogether, whose meeting place perhaps is prominent back over here on I-75, just below Tylersville Road exit. They may be folk who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no connection whatsoever. But if they are the people that God has chosen to set His love upon, as you speak to them of Christ, and as you live before them in a way that adorns your profession, God will use that and draw them infallibly at His right time to Himself. And it may be that you will have the privilege, a time, two, three, many, to have the delight of seeing people come to know the God who has loved you. You'll find His love set upon them. You will find that God will use you in bringing people to love Him who is worthy of all our love. Well, that for the nature of the embassy. What is it to be doing? We've been kind of hinting at that. What you're to do is to present God's appeal to men and nations. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. God is appealing. God is pleading. Do children know what those words mean? It is when it is like, for example. If we were to go outside here, I'm totally disoriented now. I guess it's over this way. If we were to go over this way a few miles away, what do we find there? What's King's Island? And let's say it's summertime, and you really want to go. What do you do with Dad and Mom? Or with your grandpa or grandma? I hope you don't get too whiny about it. But you don't say, Dad, you are taking me and my brothers and sisters to King's Island. So, get dressed, get out of bed. I know it's Saturday morning at 6, but get out of bed. We're going.
Now, get moving.
You don't do that, do you? I trust you would never talk to your dad or to your mom that way. That is not honoring them. Even as an adult, you would not talk that way to your parents. What you would say, though, particularly as a child, but maybe as a grown-up, as an adult, and you have older parents, you would say, could we please, you ask them politely, you honor them, and you maybe say, oh, pretty please, you're now pleading with them. Now, God has every right to say, come to me. Come to me. And when it comes down to it, as he works within our hearts by his Holy Spirit, that is what he does. But as those who share the gospel, and particularly those who preach the gospel, we plead, usually, with sinners. See God's kindness. And is kind of stooping down to us, just like children, sometimes your parents do with you. They know that you are little. They know that you are not strong. And so they make things easy for you. They kind of stoop down to you, and they help you. God stoops to us and pleads with his willful, guilty, polluted creatures. There is a place for demanding. And there is a place, you elders of the Church of Jesus Christ, for you to thunder forth against complacent sinners. For complacent sinners need to hear the demand that they repent. More to the point, that they believe and then repent. But normally, Christ's ambassador will try winningly to appeal and to plead. See that Paul himself is doing just that. Now, these are not words he uses toward the Corinthians. He is giving them, rather, a quote of what he says to sinners. We implore you on Christ's behalf. We beg you, be reconciled to God. But this message is not only for unbelievers, it is for believers as well, for that's what the Corinthians were. The people in this presbytery in the south of Greece, they were professed believers already. We need to be speaking to one another this way, and ministers of the gospel, elders of the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be speaking to the people of God this way frequently too. Because there's a continuing need for a continuing supply of the Spirit's sustaining and sanctifying grace to congregations, to families within, and individuals in the congregation. And there is a need constantly to be speaking even to Christian institutions, to be coming along in further holiness and further conformation to the pattern that Christ has given. Now, we want to see that this embassy is authoritative. It has authority, just like a regular ambassador does here in the world. The gospel is to be presented as such, though winsomely, though imploringly, at the same time, ambassadors and the staff of the embassy have no right to change the message. Even in our world, the ambassador from the United States has no authority to give a different message to the land where he is sent than what he has been given. In olden days, well, let's say when Paul was around, when this letter was written, communications would be difficult. An ambassador, say, from Rome to Persia, to get word back and forth from the Persian capital to Rome, would take months. Today, it can flash across the world like that. And in fact, you children live in a world that is so much different than we adults did, where you have communications almost all the time. With these things, children. You ever see one of these?
No.
Okay. No one's looking, so that's all right. That's all right. Well, in any case, your embassy is to be presented as the authoritative word from the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not back down from it, even though it be unpopular, even though it be considered politically incorrect, even though you be slandered and be called racist, sexist, homophobe, or something of the sort. You may not back down. You have no authority to do so, nor does any of the Church of Jesus Christ. And you may not act as though it is only one message in a sinfully supposed pluralism. There is temptation to do that, to go along with what the world says and say, well, this works for us. And in our postmodern society, oh my, that's popular to do. But you may not do so. All people do not worship the same God. There are many ways, it's true, I just recently saw someone say this. There are many ways to God. But all of them but one lead to judgment. This authoritative embassy, of course, is to be carried on constantly in prayer to God and Christ for Him to do the ultimate working of authority and power. For ultimately what must happen is that which you cannot do. Hearts must be changed. Hearts must be changed. And just as no one here is competent, no one here is able to do a heart transplant, they can maybe do that up the road at the Kettering Hospital. They can maybe do that down in, University Hospital down in Cincinnati. I don't know where it's done around here. But you can't do that. That's just a heart of flesh. There is no cardiac surgeon in the world who can change a spiritual heart, who can give a new living heart to one who has an old one in Adam that's cold and hard and made of stone, such as God speaks of through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37 of his prophecy. You need to be praying to the one who can, the one who does in His grace and kindness. Your embassy will succeed or not as God works through your prayer. And lastly, the embassy, like any embassy, is representative. You show forth your King. Just as the ambassador from our country to even little tiny Liechtenstein. And if you want to know where that is, children, ask your parents. They can look it up on Wikipedia if they need to. Right? Even the ambassador in tiny little Liechtenstein must live there in the capital city of Vaduz. I'm educating all of you perhaps here. Has to act in a way and live in a way that will not dishonor the United States. He can't get involved in drug dealing. He can't get involved in money laundering. He can't be, well, this is a mixed audience, so I won't go into that. But there are things he must not do that would be a public shame, not only to him, but to the United States of America. And so it is for you, embassy staff. So it is for you, ambassadors. You must never in your embassy represent anyone else. And you must do it in a way that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no call, just like the ambassador to Liechtenstein, from the United States, won't, unless he has permission, represent some other country. He represents the United States. You must not represent anyone else. Yourself? The ideas of someone else? What the culture is saying? You have a commission from Jesus Christ to represent Him and alone. And you must present God's Word in all its fullness. Teaching them, our Lord Jesus Christ has said in the Great Commission, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You're not merely to tell them of the gospel, but how they must live in order themselves to glorify Christ. And this is for sinners and for societies, for men and nations, over whom our Lord Jesus Christ has all authority. You're a little teeny group. That's probably what people will tell you. That's probably what you tell yourselves. But you have an embassy from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a wide area of responsibility. Take upon yourselves this work then, particularly you elders, wherever God has put you, in this mission or elsewhere, to be proclaiming salvation in Jesus Christ. Implore sinners by the mercies of God. Pray that God would be at work. Live and labor before them as Christ's representative. And the King of all, the mediatorial King, the Lord Jesus Christ, will use you to save sinners, to disciple believers, to glorify Himself, and bring about His greatest goal of all, to glorify His Father in heaven. Amen.